Diane, come back to piano and let's do something about that name. Y'all sing with me. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Oh, he's good. Amen. Be turning to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Jim, I love you, brother. Would you pray for me before I preach? Amen. Well, as we mentioned during our prayer time, this has been some week that we've had in our country. It's in a mess. Our whole world, as we see, is in chaos and in a mess. But we see the things that are happening materially and health-wise, but spiritually is what I want to concentrate on. Spiritually, our country's in a mess. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, so I'm not telling you how to act during these times. But I'm a preacher, so I can tell you spiritually. I'm not going to prescribe to you medications, but spiritually I can tell you how as believers we should act. And that's as Christians. This morning we're going to look at three traits of Christian service, of how that we're to act in a world no matter whether things are going good or things are going bad. We'll look at that in Galatians chapter 5 in just a moment. But because our country, let me tell you a little more about our country. You've seen the news this week and you see current events and things that's happened on in our country, things that are happening in other countries. But even before this took place within the last couple of weeks in our country, how many of you get Decision Magazine? A few. I trust that you, I look forward to this coming every time it comes. I mean, it's fantastic. But if you know, the Franklin Graham tour come to Greensboro last year. Several thousand were there. Many were saved and went around to different places where people were being saved and different cities were being woke up. And he was planning to take this tour to the UK. And he had all these, he didn't have things in writing. But if you've read your Decision magazine, you know that he didn't have contracts. But at the same time, they had agreements, but they have all canceled on his venues. All the venues in the UK have canceled their handshake agreements or whatever with him. But he says, I'm going anyway. He was going there to proclaim the gospel. And because of his strong for the stand on the Word of God, because you know he does not compromise the Word of God. He takes a strong stand, but because of his strong stand on the Word of God, they have canceled his events, and he's still going. But that's the way as Christians, that if we take a stand for the Word of God, we're seen as hateful, that we don't get along with the rest of the world. That's the shape that our country's in. We need an awakening in our country. The president has called for a national day of prayer. Definitely, we do need prayer in our country. So the most serious thing, even more so than a virus, even though that is important, thank you, Marvin, during this time, is the seriousness of a spiritual condition of our country. The lostness of people. People that are lost and on their way to hell. Then there's a decline of morale in our country. And then even among Christians, there is a great falling away and seemingly no concern for the lost people that they come in contact with. Even as Christians today, they seem to have grown cold and indifferent. So that's where we're at today. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 through 9, and then 13 through 15. Verse 7, it says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that called you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Christian traits during this time of service. Paul has been preaching, he's been on a missionary journey, and he's been preaching salvation through Jesus Christ. And here he's having to come back through, and he's talking to the Galatians about how that they are exchanging the liberty that they found in salvation again for the demands of the law. You got to understand that here these Jews had been brought up in Judaism, and they had to keep all these different laws. Y'all know about that? And not just the Ten Commandments, but they had 643 is what they say, laws of that they were keeping. But Paul comes through here, and he's teaching liberty and salvation in Jesus Christ. But they're wanting to mix the two. They are free. Jesus met the demands of the law. But they're free from that, but they're wanting to mix it all up again. So we find some things here as they're trying to mix this up that Paul's trying to straighten out. First thing is the longevity of the believer. And the first thing that come to your mind when I said that is longevity of life, isn't it? Isn't that the first thing to come to your mind? Adding years or what? The longevity? No, but that's not what we're talking about here. Let me explain just a little bit. The longevity that believer have is in truth. The longevity of truth is built on the foundation of Christ. But now here in Galatians, it's being tainted with false doctrine. Now you see what I'm talking about? We have the longevity, which is everlasting, of a foundation that is founded in Jesus Christ. But here in Galatians chapter 5, it's being tainted by false doctrine. They're wanting to bring back in legalism, denial of the deity of Christ, the blood atonement, having immoral conduct. They say that's okay. And they just want to use that to everybody get along. So here this longevity of the believer is found in different ways. A past remembrance. In verse 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? A past remembrance. Do you remember a time? Just think back. Do you remember the time that you got saved? Here's the way it went. Here's the way it works for everybody. No matter if you got saved in your living room, in church, or on the job, or wherever, you ask Jesus for forgiveness of sins and you repented and you give your life to Him and He placed you in His family and called you one of His children. So when you think back about your salvation, you remember a time to where your life was changed. And the evidence of that is that, hey, the Holy Spirit came in and you were sold out. You wanted to know all you could about Jesus. You wanted to be around God's people. You wanted to share with other people what He had done for your life. And it was a time where you just were just excited and you were on fire for Him because you had been changed. There was a difference that had taken place in your life. So there's a past remembrance of things that happened in our life when we get saved. So you remember when you were just overwhelmed with what Jesus had done with you and you couldn't ever, ever imagine any difference, any growing weary, any letting up. That's a past remembrance. But then there's the present reproach that comes about. Some people seem like they get over it, don't they? I hope you didn't get over it. But it seems like a lot of people think they get over it. There's a present reproach. Once vibrant, once on fire for the Lord, and it seems like the fires have grown down to coals. There may just be a little smoke coming through. It's faded. And here Paul is writing to the people at Galatians, and he says, I'm amazed in such a short time. He had been through on his first missionary journey. They had gotten saved. They had trusted Jesus. Now he's gone back through them, visiting them again. He says, I'm amazed in such a short time, the change that has taken place since I last saw you. They were heading in the wrong direction. And we have to be careful that we avoid the hindrances in our life that would destroy our walk with the Lord and begin to head in the wrong direction. Where that once we were on fire for God, we have grown indifferent. So, and we look around and we say, oh yeah, I see that. I see others like that. And I say, oh yeah, Lord, you get them, you get them. Sometimes we overlook that. We've grown, and we're not on the path we used to be on. We're not on fire for the Lord like we once were. So we have this past remembrance, and we also have a present reproach in that we realize, maybe I'm not where I was at one time as well. Amen. Now, here's the way it works. We were once on fire for the Lord. We were sharing, and others saw that in us, and we shared that with other people, and we'd tell people what the Lord's doing for us. But we see people who have compromised on their standing with the Lord, and what they want to do is find more favor with the world. I don't know about you, but people may have said, hey, they used to go to church. Man, every time that doors was open over there, I saw them people in church. He used to be on fire for the Lord. He just wouldn't shut up about Jesus. I don't want somebody saying about me, he used to be. Used to be. And you shouldn't either. We used to be on fire for the Lord. You know, he used to be a pretty good old guy. I knew when he told me about Jesus and all time. I don't want to be a used to be. But so many used to be's. I wonder what happened to him. They got their eyes on the world. They got sidetracked. Paul's gone through here. He's led these people to the Lord, and he comes back through a little time later, he says, in such a short time, I'm amazed at how y'all have got off course. And you got to stay the course. Got to stay in the Word. Stay with the truth. So we see a past remembrance, a present reproach, which leads to a persuasive reminder. A little bit of reminder. Verse 8 and 9. This persuasion comes not of him that calleth you, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So we see here about our obligations as a believer, as a Christian. What traits do we have? First off, there's a calling. As the body of Christ, we're expected to hold truth. The truths of God's Word, the foundational truths of God's Word. We're expected to uphold truths. Not the world standards that demand that we just get along, but the truths of Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That don't mean we compromise. Oh, all of y'all just get along now. We're all going to the same place. No, we're not. You know the scriptures. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is our Savior. Not just any God you want to choose. Not just getting along in any road you want to take, you'll get there. No, it don't work that way. Our calling is one to Jesus and His standards as His obedient children. The persuasive reminder, it comes from the Holy Spirit within the believers that we're to take a stand for Jesus and stand on His truth, on His standards, not the world's standards. It leads not from our calling onto our consecration. In verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Leaven in the scriptures is always considered along with sin. Sin. In regard to sin. Now, let me bring it out to this way. As a believer, our service, our Christian service, we can't dabble in sin and expect God's blessings on our life. If we're not separated and we go to dabbling in the sin, people begin to look at us and say, he used to be on fire. He's one of them used to be's. And I don't want to be called a used to be, do you? Yeah. So we can't dabble in sin. It defiles us. It contaminates leaven and contaminates the whole thing. It'll mess up Diane's bread, won't it? It contaminates the body. In Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You see? Dabbling in the world. Now, we live in a world. But we're separated from this world. We're different. So if we're so rooted and grounded in the philosophies, vain deceit, and traditions of men, the rudiments of this world, can we be any effect for Jesus? We're compromised because we've dabbled in a little sin here and a little there. And we've become compromised. Our standards have been let down low. And we're used to be's. Wow. So we have number one trait, the longevity of the believer. We're to be standing on truth and serving Jesus. But secondly, is there's a liberty, the liberty of the believer. And we'll see that in a couple of ways, the liberty of the believer. In verse 13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. First off, under this liberty of the believer, there's the delight in liberty. The delight in liberty. Legalism. That's teachings under the law. Trying to mix the law. Keep the law. We are no longer bound under the law. My righteousness is not in the law. My righteousness is in Christ. Not the ability to maintain the law. You've heard it over and over and over again about the chain and the link. One breaks, the whole chain falls apart, no matter which link it is, and that being the law, we can't be saved by the law. You've seen that illustration. But my righteousness is in Christ, not the ability to maintain the law. We cannot keep the law. In James 2:10, it tells us that, didn't I give you that? For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. So we realize that, hey, the law is not going to do us any good. We can try to keep it, but it's all grace, isn't it? We're going to get to that. The delight of liberty, but the danger of liberty is verse 13 as well. We find this. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, but use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use that liberty that you have in order to sin. Moses had his commandments plus all these other laws, and the laws can't be kept. What did he do when he went up to Mount Sinai to receive the law? He come back down. What were they into? Already sinning. Already done set up a golden calf. They had to have something else. Can't do it. It don't work that way. The danger of the liberty, you get your eyes off of Jesus, it's your things on this world. It causes for an occasion to sin. Now, many have this thinking. Well, I can live like I want to. Since we're living under grace now, some people have carried this thing and they've cheapened grace. They think, well, since I'm living under grace now, I can do what I want to do and get forgiveness for it later. Don't work that way. Nope. Romans 6, 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Am I going to keep on sinning just so I think I can go ask for forgiveness and grace is going to cover it all? Well, aren't you glad for grace? I'm thankful for grace. Amen. Because we do sin. We fall short. But does that mean we're going to go out here and plan to sin and get forgiveness for it later? God don't work that way. I'm thankful for grace. But we're making a mockery out of sin when we think, well, I can just do this, 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 and this, and I'll get forgiveness later. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live longer therein? We love the Lord. We want to serve Him and live in His Spirit. And know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into His death? This is not water baptism. This is Spirit baptism. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The dangers of liberty is a lot of people think, well, I can go back this way. I can mix the law and liberty. I can go back and I can get forgiveness later. And that is cheapening grace. I didn't have this in my illustration, but let me just share it with you because the Lord placed it on my mind. Some Wednesdays ago, I used this illustration that I wrote this letter. And I want to mail this letter to Diane. Say, I wrote this letter, and I'm going to mail it to her. But I put it in the book. Say, I'm going to mail it later. But it's in the book, and it just happens to be in the Bible. And it's in the book. And I'm on my way home with my book, and I happen to drop it in the water. And I'd reach down and pick it up out of the water. I said, oh, no. And the letter's in the book. So it's in the book, so it goes in the water as well, did it not? But I got it out of the water. Now this letter's in the book. But it went where the book went. The Bible says that we are in Christ. You got that? And it says it in many occasions that we are in Christ. If we are in Christ, no matter where Christ goes, we go with Him. Our heavenly home is sealed because we're in Christ. The Bible says we are seated in heavenly places. You say, how can I do that? I'm here on earth. We are seated in heavenly places because we are in Christ. Everywhere Christ has been and everywhere Christ is, we are in Christ. Our freedom, our liberty is in Christ. You're in heaven now as if you're already there because we're in Christ. Do you want to cheapen that grace? Because we are in Christ and we're His children, we're His family. And you want to make a mockery of that by saying, well, I can just do any way I please. It don't work that way. We are serving Him. The dangers of liberty is that people think, well, I can just do anything I want. But we are in Christ. Now, here's the duty that liberty brings about. It's found in love. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Use your, that not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but love and serve one another. We're to love each other. We love Him, and we have opportunity to serve the Lord and love one another. So here's this third trait, the love of the believer. Now, we've looked at the longevity of the believer and the liberty that we have as a believer. This love. Love is universal. I'm drawing to a close now. Love is universal, it's sacrificial, and it's beneficial. It's universal. We love one another. We're called to love everybody. God loved everybody. For whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. We're whosoever's. He loved the world. It's not how we look or dress or how good we are, how poor we are, how much money. We're to love one another with the love that Christ showed and teaches us how to love others. So we love universally. It's not the color of skin. We all bleed red. Amen? There's one race, the human race. So we love one another, no matter what. We love. That is the love of the believer. It's sacrificial. Jesus sacrificially went to the cross and paid our sin debt. We love Him. He teaches us to love one another. So He teaches us that love that we love sacrificially. That means if it's not easy to love, we love anyway. And we care about one another. Even during these hard times, and we love is beneficial. Where love ceases to exist, there is destruction and ruin are certain to follow. So who's the hope of this world? It's Christ. And He's armed to use us, His body, to believers to show the world a difference. During the crisis of the world that we have right now, can we make a difference? Amen. We love people with the love of Christ. He takes away our fears because we serve Him. He cares about us. And we share that love with the world around us. Let's bow our heads.